Thank you for listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley, Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are people-powered radio in northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org.
Hey, I'm Carmel Holt, and welcome to She Rose Radio, an independent space that was created to turn up the volume of women, non-binary, and gender-expansive voices in song and conversation. It's a show that amplifies and multiplies those voices that are still not heard in equal numbers to give you an hour of radio unlike any other, created, hosted, produced, engineered, and powered by women. And thanks to radio stations like this one that bring you She Rose Radio each week, we get together for an hour of songs and interviews featuring the trailblazers and the new visionaries across genres, generations, and identities. To quote bell hooks, feminism is for everybody. This is She Rose Radio, and this radio revolution starts now.
Valei-me, deixe, é o fim do nosso amor. Perdoa, por favor, eu sei que o erro aconteceu, mas não sei o que fez tudo mudar de vez. Onde foi que eu errei? Eu só sei que amei, que amei, que amei, que amei. Será talvez que minha ilusão foi dar meu coração com toda a força pra essa moça me fazer feliz. E o destino não quis me ver como raiz de uma flor de lis. E foi assim que eu vi nosso amor na poeira, poeira, morto na beleza fria de Maria. E o meu jardim da vida é seco morreu, e pra que brotou Maria, de Margarida nasceu. E o meu jardim da vida é seco morreu, do pé que brotou Maria, de Margarida nasceu.
Some feelings, some feelings.
see me flying so high up in the sky. Be what you are, but please let me believe that you are mine. And then you'll see me flying so high up in the sky. Be what you are, let me believe that you are mine. Eu me ajude na vida, essa cor.
UK collective Coco Roco and Just Can't Wait from their brand new album, Tough Times Never Last. That's coming on July 11th. The seven-piece was co-founded by trumpeter and composer Sheila Maurice Gray and percussionist Onome Edgeworth in 2014. They specialize in a mix of jazz, funk, neo-soul, and West African high life. So if you like the sound of that, keep a lookout for their new album, again, out at the end of this week. We also heard a new track from Erykah Badu and The Alchemist on the heels of their announcement of a co-headlining tour happening next month. We heard the track Next to You, and we think that this is off their yet-to-be-released album, which is rumored to be titled Abby and Alan, just like the tour. And although not much is known about the new album, it will be Erykah Badu's first since 2010's New America Part 2, Return of the Ankh, not including the 2015 mixtape, But You Can't Use My Phone. Welcome to She Rose Radio Hour, my friends. I'm your host, Carmel Holt. It is so great to see you as always. And this week, we've got Alex Sauser-Monig, a.k.a. Daughter of Swords, in the She Rose Spotlight, talking about their new album, Alex. That conversation coming up in the second part of the show, so I hope that you'll stick around for that. Right now, getting to a new one by She Rose alums, Big Thief, as we wish Adrienne Lanker a very happy birthday on Wednesday, July 9th. The new album is Double Infinity. It's coming on September 5th. From it, this is Incomprehensible. Thank you.
Catch my breath. Maybe if I wait a little, I remember how it hurts and stop before I fall. I'd forget to come apart and catch myself and hold on tightly. Let memory wash over me. Forgive, but don't forget. Still a memory like a stone, a jagged edge made smooth by time. Let it be all it is, small and still and better left alone. Some things are better broken. Some things are better broken. Come, the venom stings, swirling visions, soft and perfect. They blur all the edges till everything's fine. So I'll pretend I didn't cry. You pretend that you're my savior. We both remember what we want to get us through the night. So don't come back to me begging, why'd you leave? Tell me why. How could you let this go? Let it be all it is, small and still a memory like a stone, a jagged edge made smooth by time. Let it be all it is, small and still a better left alone. Some things are better.
Sarah McLachlan is back. Her first album in over a decade is Better Broken, which arrives on September 19th. We heard the title track, and also wishing Adrienne Lenker of Big Thief the happiest of birthdays on Wednesday, July 9th. Their new song is Incomprehensible, and again, Double Infinity is coming out in early September. I'm Carmel Holt. Don't go anywhere. Our featured interview with Daughter of Swords is coming up after the break. Stay with us.
You're listening to Shiro's Radio on KAXE. I'm Kari Headland. Thanks for tuning in today. We receive support from the Bush Foundation, investing in great ideas and the people who power them, introducing the 2025 Bush Fellows, leaders working to make the region better for everyone. More information is online at bushfoundation.org. And we want to thank the 19th annual Lake Bemidji Dragon Boat Festival for their support of programming. A summer tradition on the shores of Lake Bemidji, July 30th through August 2nd. The team registration deadline is July 15th. More information available at BemidjiDragonBoat.com. If you are interested in checking out any activities going on this weekend for the holiday weekend, the KAXE news team did a roundup of all of the fireworks and parades that are continuing through tomorrow. Go to KAXE.org to find that information.
Here is more from Shiro's Radio. You can hear it Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 3.
You're listening to Shiro's, and I'm Carmel Holt. We talk a lot these days about the sad state of the music industry, but if you know where to look, there are some pockets of hope. For me, one of those pockets can be found in the Triangle region of North Carolina, and specifically Durham and Chapel Hill, where a family tree of musicians and producers have been creating not only amazing work with lots of cross-pollination, but also some radically visionary ways of charting an independent path in an increasingly unstable, unsustainable late-stage capitalist world and industry. I want to take you back to the moment that I first laid eyes and ears on a couple of the folks who are at the center of the scene that I'm setting. It was the fall of 2011, and I was sitting in the audience of BAM in Brooklyn, spellbound by Feist, who is touring in support of her new album, Metals. The goosebumps were constant, and many of them were due to the spine-tingling harmonies of a trio of singers on the stage with her. I had to know more, and I soon learned that these were not just hired backup singers, but a band called Mountain Man that had formed at Bennington College in Vermont in the late aughts by three friends, Amelia Meath, Molly Sarlay, and Alex Sauser-Monick. At the time, they only had one album, Made the Harbor, which was released in 2010. A couple years after that tour with Feist, Mountain Man member Amelia Meath and musician and producer Nick Sanborn formed Sylvan Esso. And in 2018, at long last, Mountain Man put out their critically hailed second album, Magic Ship. And in 2019, the very first solo albums came from the other two members of Mountain Man, including the gorgeous solo debut of Alex Sauser-Monick under the moniker of Daughter of Swords. It's called Dawnbreaker. And it didn't stray far from their Mountain Man roots. It was quiet, acoustic, and they collaborated with both of their Mountain Man bandmates, as well as Nick Sanborn. A couple years later, in 2022, Alex and Amelia released their debut album as the A's, called Fruit, on Nick and Amelia's independent label, Psychic Hotline, recorded at their recording studio called Betty's. Fast forward to 2025, Alex Sauser-Monick has just released their second album as Daughter of Swords, called Alex. And once again, it's a chosen family affair, co-produced by Nick and Amelia. And I am so happy to welcome Alex Sauser-Monick to the Shiro Spotlight. Alex Sauser-Monick, welcome to Shiro's.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to be here.
I'm so thrilled to have you. This feels very long overdue, but at long last, I have you here. I'm so glad that you decided to come back and do another Daughter of Swords record. Let's talk about the Sonics and how that's evolved since Dawnbreaker.
Yeah, for sure. So Alex is like way more electric guitar and beat forward. And I had kind of gathered this collection of songs over COVID. So Nick Sanborn and Amelia Meath of Sylvan Esso co-produced the record with me. And my initial conversations with Nick, one of the rules we wanted to sort of embark on recording the songs with was instead of acoustic guitar, what takes the place of the like sonic root of the song? Because all of Dawnbreaker is acoustic guitar centric. And there is acoustic on the record, but it's just not front and center. And it felt like pretty limiting to me. And I wanted to see what would happen if that was subtracted from the equation. And it just opened up so much room to pull from different sonic references and to sort of build up a library of instruments and sounds that felt like they belonged in the world of the collection of the songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So what was, if there is even a song that you can point to in the collection that may have been like the key that turned the lock? Like, is there anything in here that we can listen to a sample of?
Yeah, Alone Together was the first song that we recorded for the record. Mm-hmm. And it really sort of felt like it was like a signpost for the rest of the record. Like, it's a pretty heavy hitter and just kind of like bombastic guitars and some very loose vocal takes.
It's all on account of the moon. And this long
string of creeps is. The fix it is. I feel like myself again. Do you feel brand new? Don't you think it could be fun for me and you?
Called Alone Together, and it kicks off Alex, the new Daughter of Swords album. We have Alex Sauzermanic here with us on Shiro's. So Alone Together, we were talking about going into that song, signpost of sonically how you were going to build the world of Alex, this new album with Nick Sanborn of Sylvanesso. I almost see him as like the hinge or something, like between the acoustic folky world of Mountain Man, where you and your bandmate Amelia Meath and Sylvanesso started, and what happens when you throw out the acoustic and the folk palette and go wide.
Yeah, I mean, he's just such a versatile musician and, you know, is always trying to work in service of a song and not getting bogged down in like ego or attachment or anything like that. It's just like all about following what's fun and like letting that guide you to what feels appropriate and cool.
Talk to us a little bit about thematically what Alex is about.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I wrote a lot of them during COVID and like kind of everybody else in America those years, and still there's so much upheaval and turmoil and like self-examination and unpacking the ways that white America swallows the concept of their privilege at a very young age, and also looking at like how hard it is to exist financially in our country. And like I feel that all the time. The middle class of the music industry has evaporated. It's impossible to tour. I feel like each song on the record sort of engages with different facets of the reality of modern life in America as I see it.
Tell us a little bit about how things have evolved, changed for you as a musician from your beginnings, being in that trio with your two college friends and then going out on your own.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, Mountain Man, like you said, we started that when we were in college and called it quits a little bit when I was 25. So it sort of carried me through like the first handful of years of true adulthood in my life. And it was sort of like, you know, there's that kind of magical way when you're in a band at that age and people are listening to you where you don't really understand that it's like not common. Yeah, it sort of looked different in the early 2010s when Made the Harbor came out. We were just sort of riding this wave. And like now my engagement with the music industry feels very, very different. And it almost feels contentious in a way where, you know, like streaming has destroyed, sort of like rotted out the center of the industry. And like, it's so hard financially to make it work if you're not at the top. But I feel like I'm very stubborn and I'm not willing to not make music because of the state. You know, it's like, I just played some shows, but I honestly probably won't play more because the financial reality makes no sense. But I'm not willing to not make music or to like have that part of my creative life stifled by the economic realities of the industry today. But so it feels like a very, very different place than where
than what it was. Yeah. Am I remembering this right? Forgive me. Were you doing like furniture reupholstering or something? Like, is that your side hustle or your main hustle? And then
Yeah, it's become my main thing. I am obsessed with it. Yeah, a few years ago, I took this workforce training program at a community college in North Carolina, and I finished it a year and a half ago and started a business called Sauzer House. As I was sort of waiting to put my record out And as I was trying to figure out how to pay the bills, the trades became very appealing to me. I'm obsessed with the trades. I feel like more people should become like electricians and plumbers and upholsterers and stuff, because those jobs can't be taken by AI either. You know, it's like,
that's so true.
Yeah. ChatGPT can't reupholster your sofa or fix a leak in your water line. I don't know. There's so much potential when something is like falling apart, like the music industry. Like, how do you build up? It's like, sound like Joe Biden, build it back better. But truly, like, that's just such an opportunity to like create something that feels cool and like it's actually serving the people who are involved and is like, you know, breathing some fresh air into something that feels pretty stale. Cause like ticket sales across the industry are tanking. Like people don't go to shows the way they did before COVID. So like, how do you make it something that people are excited to do? That's like presenting something that's not like a Live Nation show or, you know, something that you just have to like jump through all these like stupid ticket booking hoops to like even access and figure out the way to do it that's like asking questions instead of just getting like slammed into some lane that doesn't really work.
Yeah, the man. We have Alex Sauzermanik here with us on Shiro's Daughter of Swords. New album is called Alex. Let's pick another track to go to. What do you want to play?
Let's play Hard On.
Oh, yes. This is one of my faves. You want to tell us anything about this song?
Oh, I like to think of it as being like inside a really horny pinball machine.
Amazing. Sun is up. What to say? Come on, baby, let me give you what you like. Some all day, sex all night. It's hot already, you can see it in the sky. Right downtown, take that bait. Hit that spot with coffee that I know you like. I look at you, you look at me. It's okay now, honey, anyone can see. A girl.
That's called Hard On from the new Daughter of Swords album, Alex. We have Alex Sauzermanik here with us on Shiro's. Where did you and music initially meet up? Like before the Mountain Man chapter and college and so forth, was music always your thing?
It was always a big part of my life, but initially because, well, my parents started a music store together when they were 21 years old.
Wow.
In St. Paul, Minnesota, which is where I'm from. And so, you know, like my dad would pick me up from kindergarten and get me a hot dog at the Dairy Queen around the corner. And then I would post up in the break room and like watch cartoons at the music store. So like access to lessons was always available because of that. And my mom has a master's in flute performance and teaches flute lessons. And my dad has been a guitar player his whole life. And my sister, you know, played a bunch of instruments. So it's always been around. And I was always sort of like, yeah, it's cool. But I think not until I was, you know, a teen and in college did I really get like hyped about composing and songwriting and like find my own pathway into it. Cause I'm not like, I always really struggled with reading music. And because of maybe the context in which I grew up, it felt like that was prerequisite to being a musician. And because it was such a challenge for me, I was like, I guess this isn't for me. And then I realized, you know, as I moved out into the world more, like there's so many ways to engage with music that have nothing to do with reading it.
How has gender intersected with or not, or supported or not, your work as a creative person, as an artist?
I mean, I guess in various ways. I wouldn't say it's like the predominant piece for me at all, but like part of my relationship to music, I think early on was defined by like feeling like it was inaccessible also from like a gender perspective, like the new staff, like the sound guys, the like whatever, like walking into a guitar shop, it's like always men and like often men who, I'm not speaking like across the board, they're like amazing men in all of those contexts, but there's so much energy of like, this isn't necessarily a space for you, or like, I've got a chip on my shoulder and like, I'm going to make you feel bad about it. And mm-hmm. like that type of energy. Yeah. So I think like in a way, like acoustic music sort of felt like an easier in to the music world, because there's just so much less that you have to deal with, less opportunities for interfacing with like that type of energy, which is really sad, you know, because like making loud music is really fun. And then I think from like a writing perspective, there's something about, well, yeah, that like language is power and it allows you to sort of speak into reality, like experiences, and embody yourself in ways that just feel more accessible through language, maybe. Yeah. I haven't spent that much time thinking about it, so it's interesting to be given the opportunity to reflect.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're here to do. What I hadn't heard before was the angle of playing acoustic music almost as like a path of least resistance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I hadn't really acknowledged that in my own mind until this moment, but I think that's like, does really feel true.
Well, and also then that kind of reframes or is a cool new way of looking at Alex, the new record, right? Because mm-hmm. you're really taking ownership of a space that you hadn't really been owning before, mm-hmm. musically speaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that okay to put those words in your mouth?
I think that that feels true. Like, I think that in a way, even having the conversations with Nick about like, I don't want this to feel like an acoustic record. It's not setting a trap for myself, but it's like kind of pushing myself through a door that I wanted to go through, but for whatever reason, just like felt like I couldn't go through.
Uh-huh.
And yeah.
So if it's okay to push this just another step further, Alex, why do you think that now or then, I guess it's been 4 years since you made the record, why now or why then? Like, what gave you that? Is it just maturing and age and getting more confidence in yourself and your abilities? Or,
you know, I think it's probably a mixture of things. The hope for adulthood, right, is it's a path and you keep exploring and you keep like learning more things about yourself and trying and challenging yourself in different ways. Mm-hmm. And so it's like partly that, and then partly, honestly, I'm on Lexapro and I feel a lot better in my mind than I have for my whole adult life.
Amazing.
So I just feel like a lot safer in my own mind. And so that's an aspect of it. Yeah, I think just like choosing not to live from a place of fear internally opens up a lot of room to like do things that maybe you didn't feel comfortable doing before. Yeah, like some combination of choosing not to live in fear of things that I want for myself, and also just feeling safer internally because of SSRIs. Bless them.
Bless them. Yes.
I love them.
And the space at Betty's, from what I hear, is a pretty diverse and even maybe like largely feminine queer space. Am I getting that right?
Allie Rogers is the engineer at Betty's, and she is amazing and like so gifted at making anyone feel comfortable using the space and being there. And yeah, it's Amelia and Nick are the owners and they're responsible for the space existing. And yeah, it's like, among the people who run Betty's, Nick is the only cis guy on the ground, so to speak. It's a very welcoming place, and yeah, it's very cool.
We need more spaces like that.
I know. I feel like I'm in and out of there so much, I'm not even thinking about it as like a rarity, but it, I guess it really is.
I mean, talk about like a common thread that I hear week in, week out talking to folks is like, we need more femme and queer venues. We need more femme and queer run, you know, studios. Studios is a huge one. And man, people on the tech side, you know?
Yeah. I wish that wasn't the case. I wish there was more of that energy.
Well, since we're talking about wishes, we may as well move right into our magic wand moment. Here's a magic wand, Alex. I'm handing it to you through the screen. And with this wand, you can change anything in the music industry for women, for non-binary folks, for queer folks, for BIPOC folks, for everybody that doesn't have an equal say or an equal platform or equal access. What would you change with the first wave of the wand?
I would kill Spotify.
That's a good wish.
Yeah. Well, they're investing in AI drone crap for the military. So yeah, I mean, that feels like an easy one.
You and I understand, but maybe for listeners that might not know why we feel Spotify is evil.
Yeah. They're just like so responsible for quashing like smaller artists on their platform, and they just do not have the interests of artists in mind, and they don't have the interests of listeners in mind.
Alex, it's been awesome to spend a little time with you. And before we say goodbye, I would love to pick another track. Is there a song here that is especially meaningful to you or that you're especially proud of?
Yeah, let's play West of West. It's the last track on the record, and I'm deeply proud of this one.
I got the kids in the bed. You got the dog, I got the cat. Where did Webby say to me? Was that the road? Was that the street? They're fighting flames on the ridge. And up the highway and the bridge. Babes, feet up. It's the next turn beyond the chair.
Thanks once again to Alex Souser Monig. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Carmel.
You brightened my week.
I'm so glad.
Many thanks once again to Alex Souser Monig for joining us. Their new album, Alex, is available now on Psychic Hotline. This interview was edited for broadcast, so if you'd like to hear more, please download and subscribe to the She Rose podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Next, we close the hour celebrating Mavis Staples' birthday with a new song that she recorded in, you guessed it, Durham, North Carolina, when She Rose Radio continues.
This is She Rose Radio on KAXE. I'm Kari Hedlund. Thanks for tuning in today and being with us on this holiday weekend. We receive support from the Watermark Art Center in downtown Bemidji with exhibits, classes, and handcrafted original art made by regional artists founded in their shop 505. The center is accessible and open to the public, watermarkartcenter.org. And support comes from Timberlake Restaurant in Grand Rapids, continuing their Martini Monday series on July 14th with R&B duo Sharon Rowbottom and Dan Boyer performing from 5 to 8. Their set features originals and folk rock interpretations of classics. More at TimberlakeLodgeHotel.com. At KAXE Local Matters, we are all about the local, and we bring you updates on news and events relevant to our rural communities. We do this because we all live here too. Federal funding helps make this kind of local coverage possible. Federal support is at risk now. Visit protectmypublicmedia.org to share what KAXE brings to our community. Thanks for listening.
Pam Perry from Brainerd is a regular contributor to the KAXE morning show. She talks about birds and other wildlife. We asked her why she supports this station.
So, and now the most recent thing is the newsroom. And I love the news reports. You're not hearing that anywhere else. You're not hearing about what county boards are doing and local governments. This is the place. This is where you're going to hear about it. And the music was wonderful. You know, and you had your volunteer hosts. And again, local people often. I want to support it. I want to support something. And then, of course, when I was listening, I was going, where else do you hear about bud break and plants and birds and forestry and all the things that, you know, we're Northern Minnesota.
You can become a member like Pam Perry. Give now at KAXE.org.
It's She Rose, and I'm Carmel Holt. Please join me in welcoming the living legend and inspiration, Mavis Staples. Very happy 86th birthday this week. Born July 10th, 1939 in Chicago, Illinois, Mavis started singing with her family group when she was just 11 years old. And then the Staples singer started touring in 1957 after she graduated high school. It's fair to say Mavis hasn't stopped ever since. This multi-Grammy winning Rock and Roll Hall of Famer and Kennedy Center honoree just released a new cover of a Frank Ocean song from the album Blonde. This is produced by Brad Cook and was released just a couple weeks ago. This is Mavis covering Godspeed. Check this out.
Like a lie. This love will keep us through the blinding of the...